and do another parable with you. So we do parables with the kids. They're really great, actually. And really part, a good part of being in Open the Book is actually you get to hear these stories. And actually, you know, we know these stories really well. But in acting them out, you sort of think about them a little bit more. So the next one we're going to do is the parable of the talents. So we're not going to do this in the same ways. It's just going to be me just very quickly going through the parable of the talents. And there was a rich man, and he was going to go on a journey. He's got his rucksack on his back, and he was just about to go off. And he decided that he would give some money to his servants that were remaining. So to one of them, he gave 5 coins. So I think 5 is Ed. 1. Duck, Val.
Josh, you have to catch.
2. 3. We do this with the kids. We wouldn't throw the coins, but we would get them to do the counting.
4.
We have to do health and safety. In not yet. 5. Okay, so he gave 5 bags of coins to one servant. He gave 2 to... This is a little risk here. There's a laptop in the way. 2 to another servant. You can see who can catch. And he gave 1 to another servant. No, you're right, you didn't. So then he went away. And he left his servants with his money. Sometime later, he came back. And he called his servants together. You don't need to come up, that's actually fine where you are. And he wanted to know how they'd done with the money that he'd given them. So he went to the first servant he gave 5 to, and he said, "Could you please throw me back the bags you have?" 1. 2. You should worry, Val.
3.
Ooh, 3.
4.
4. They are.
5.
6. 6. 7. 8. 9. It's a workout. 10. He doubled his money. Brilliant. Well done. So he said to that servant, "Well done. Come and have some. Come to my feast. Come to lunch with me. Come to dinner with me." All right. That was his. He was reward. Be with me. Right. He said to the other servant he'd given 2 coins to, "Could you throw me back the money you have?" Ooh, Lynn.
Two.
3. Oh, that was rubbish. Pickford. Oh, sorry, that was what I'm called for. So that servant had doubled the money too. And the farmer was, or the rich owner was just as happy. Just as happy as with the second as the first, because they doubled their money. Okay? So he went to the servant who he'd given 1 to, and he said, "Please throw me back the coins you have for me, the bags you have for me."
1.
Just 1. And in fact, this one was covered in mud, because this servant had buried their bag. What a strange thing to do. They'd buried their bag. So, did this servant get to go and get their reward? Did they get to go to dinner and enjoy the presence of the rich owner? No, they didn't. They didn't get to go to the party. Right, those two parables are very, very different. And actually, you might think they contradict each other. But they are actually about 2 different things. One is about becoming a Christian and coming into God's kingdom. And the other one, I don't know why I'm going over here, but I am. The other one is about the end. Actually, your conversation with Jesus at the end of your life, when you meet him. Okay, they're about 2 very different things. I better get some notes out, otherwise we will wander. Right. So 2 parables means 2 preachers. No, I'm joking. It's not going to take long. They're both really about the generosity of God, but they are seen from different angles. The parable of the vineyard clearly demonstrates God's generous offer of salvation. It's not supersized for those that have been Christians longer. It's the same. We all got the same. Those that toil longer don't get more. And it's not less of a reward for those that have just arrived. It's the same reward. Recently, we have lost a number of people who I would probably describe as my influence was when I was younger. You know, that might be a Jim. You don't know these people necessarily. It might be an Alan. It might be a John. These people that influenced me when I was young in their Christian walk walked with God for a very long time. And fairly recently, a lot of them have passed away and have gone to be with Jesus. Rich and I were in a church in Swansea probably a couple of months ago where they were talking about a member of their church that had just lost. He just passed away. Been a Christian for 2 weeks. And it was a lovely testimony about how this man had come to the church, and first of all he just was made to feel welcome, and he just came along, and then 2 weeks before he died the pastor had a conversation with him about whether he needed to be born again and accept Jesus as his saviour, and he did. And there was nothing wrong with this man. He wasn't ill. 2 weeks after that, he just passed away. But his reward is the same as whether you've been walking with God for a very long time. That deal, that good deal that we had in that parable is for everybody. That's why Jesus told the story, so we wouldn't misunderstand. As much as Rich thought it was unfair in his role as the worker and had a bit of a tantrum and it was a bit unfair, it didn't matter. Because that was the deal. That was what God was offering. And it's just like the thief on the cross, isn't it? The thief that was crucified next to Christ, who realised who he was. Jesus said to him, "Today you will be in paradise." A moment. A moment giving your life to Jesus. A moment. It's all it takes. Doesn't matter if that moment happened 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 minutes ago. It makes no difference. Fantastic. We are equally valuable to God. And although we may feel that we toil for some merit in God's kingdom, and we are encouraged to store up treasures in heaven, I wonder if that makes a whole lot of difference compared to the cost that Jesus paid for us to come into his presence and come into his family. I can explore a bit more about that in the second parable. And this parable is also really clear on who sets the terms and conditions of this arrangement. Can you imagine what it would have been like if he'd have sent the workers out? Instead of the farmer going out to get workers, what would it have been like if he'd have sent some of his servants out? Who would they have picked? What deal would have they struck? I think it would have been very different. I think they would have picked different people. I think they would have given lesser wages. We need to be careful we don't fall in the same trap. That's why it's so important that we do belong, believe, become is so important. We don't put some conditions on God's offer for people to come to church or for people to come to Christ just because we think, well, I've been here longer and I know better. It's a very simple offer. What fantastic news for us all that we are chosen to accept his generous offer irrespective of whether we came to salvation early or late in our lives. And I think the other thing that made me laugh, it just made me laugh because it's what the acting out does. Can you imagine what it would be like if you arrive later than some that have been there for a long time and they might have told you how to pick grapes? Well, you don't pick grapes like that. That's not how we do church. That's not how you love God. It's just picking grapes. Okay, you just need to relax about that and not feel just because you've been a Christian a long time you get to tell people how to pick grapes. Although Alison did look like she could do with a stool. So, just as a sort of takeaway, which is a term Rich started using, God's love is universal. It's the same for all of us. His love is not measured out depending on characteristics. It's poured out for all of us. We have all been offered the same good deal. This is the good news. God demonstrates his love for all of us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. Don't ever feel that you're not worthy of God's love or somehow you have to earn it. Don't ever feel you're not worthy of God's love or somehow you have to earn it. second parable is a little bit more different, and this time workers are entrusted with gifts of money to look after or be stewards of, with a clear expectation that they would be bringing more back. In this parable, the difference matters. Some are given more or entrusted with more with an increased expectation of what they will deliver. These gifts are not for personal use or gain. It wasn't a present to keep, but to increase or grow. And given according to servants' abilities. So some got five, some got two, one got one. There was no judgment around that. It wasn't, I got five, or I got two, I got one. It was just what the servants were entrusted with, because that's what they could cope with, apart from one, which we'll come back to. But it didn't matter, because the reward was the same. They all doubled. The two good servants doubled their money. Didn't matter if they had five, didn't matter if two. The reward was the same. It wasn't, you can sit a bit nearer to me because you got five and you just got two extra. That wasn't what it was about. I gave you two, you gave me two, you gave me four back. I gave you five, you gave me ten back. It's just different. It's just different. There's no judgment. So there's no judgment implied about the measure for the two servants bringing different amounts of increase back. It didn't matter. The man was equally pleased with the results. But to do nothing with it and simply return it was not acceptable. So this is a more challenging of the two parables, both personally and corporately. The parable really gets into the part of our theme about the generosity of God. Last week we talked about receiving God's favour and love. We talked about receiving God's love. This is about giving out. This is about giving out. What are we supposed to do with it? What are we supposed to do with the things that God gives us? Clearly, we're not meant to bury it. Now, talents, and it is called the parable of the talents, is a bit of a misleading word, because talents makes us think about, shows, doesn't it? And whether I can sing, or whether I can dance, or whether I can act, or what I can do. That's what talents makes you think, skills. But it's a misnomer. I mean, it's just the wrong word. It means money. These bags were full of money. They're actually full of lots of money. So the parable really is about the fact that we're given money. Now, that isn't to do with the fact that this is now about money. It's not about money, but don't think it's about skills either. It's not about that. It's about resources. It's about resources or capacity or bandwidth, whatever language you want to use. It was great when Dave shared with us recently and just started substituting words. Actually, it's quite useful for us just to think about this in a different way. But just think about resources or capacity. God gives some more capacity to do things than other people. And that's okay, because they're different and they're built different. And it doesn't matter. What I wanted to concentrate this morning, and this isn't a long preach, so it's just, I wanted to convert that idea of resources to our capacity to care and love. Our capacity to care and love. Because if I look across the church, I see lots of carers. Okay, lots of people because they care, that's part of their nature and they care. But lots of us have caring responsibilities. Whether we care for children, grandchildren, partners. And there are people here with caring jobs. They work in the care profession. And we tend to care for people that are in our media orbit. And I just want to describe that word. So what I mean by orbit is actually we operate in a sort of scope. We have friends, we have contacts, and these people, we collect them. If you can imagine that as picture in a sort of visual way, these people are our orbit. If you wanted to draw a circle around them, there's a circle, and it might be a little circle, it might be a big circle, depending on how many people you know and interact with. But that's what I mean by orbit, because I'll use the term again. So it's just those people that we interact with and we care for. And we might have a large orbit and we might have a bigger orbit. We've got people that we reach out to. There are people that are in our immediate orbit, but we also give our time and resources, other resources, to other things in the church. So we support a school in Solwezi. That's about caring. We support churches in Lusaka and Sulawesi. That's about caring. We might volunteer at the food bank. We might give to the food bank. That's about caring. Some of us help the homeless. Some of us house the homeless. Some of us befriend and pray for our neighbours. We visit and pray for those that are hurting. And. I don't know all that we do, but they're all about caring, and we do those things. And because we've been given much care and love from our Heavenly Father, we had some really good worship songs this morning, didn't we? Just feeling the love and care of our Lord to us. We have been given much. We are able to spread love and care around. We're able to give out of what we've been given. Much of this is unseen and probably should be, because it's done through an authentic, genuine care for others. And we all do different things, all of a different scale, and that's okay. Because one of the things the parable teaches us, it's not the same for everyone. The important thing is we use what God has given you to do. We go back to the reward is the same. The reward is the same. Well done. I will give you more to be in charge of. Come and share my pleasure. That's the verse at the end of that parable. Don't bury the bag is the warning. Don't bury the bag. I want to do a couple of things this morning just to finish. I just want to pray, actually. I'm going to pray for three things. I want to pray for those who are currently caring for people, because we need to care out of our overflow and not be poured out. And what I mean by that is that we get God's love and care into us, and from that, we overflow that to other people. If you become so empty, then you've got nothing to give everybody. You need to make sure we're doing that out of the overflow, because it's exhausting. Caring can be exhausting. I want to pray that, particularly as we approach Christmas, in our busyness, we do not miss the people that God puts in our path. Let's not be mean-spirited or blinkered. And I also want to pray that we continue to care for one another, that God will increase our orbit, that as we care for others, God will increase our orbit, both personally and corporately. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your love and care. I just really, really felt it this morning, Lord. And I just want to just pray for those people that care in the church, Lord, that have caring responsibilities. Lord, that's driven through their love and compassion, which is effectively a mirror of you, because we are like you. But Lord, I just ask you to strengthen those people who are caring, Lord. Help them to make sure they spend time with you, filled with your love and care, and then can give from the overflow, Lord. Lord, you know those people are, Lord. I just ask that you just strengthen them, Father, particularly this time. Lord, I just ask as well, as we hit the Christmas period, that we get busy with stuff. Father, just ask that you'll just help us to walk around with our eyes open, to see those people who are hurting or need our care over this time. Lord, I just want to pray that as we care for others, you'll give us an idea of our capacity, Lord. You'll increase our capacity, Lord. You'll give us more bags, Lord, that we can grow our orbit, Lord, that we can touch more people for you. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.